I welcome Daphne Marlin.
Well, first of all, hurrahs to you, Mona. Many hurrahs for your very dedicated vision and all the energy you've put into this. This is a great gathering. And I wish there was one poet here who has stopped writing poetry who is important to me as a younger poet, Phyllis Webb. Phyllis became an artist, painter, collagist, and a few years ago I ran across the story of a wonderful woman, painter and poet, Italian-Canadian, who lived for many years and died in Vernon, BC. Sveva Caetani, not many people know her work. She's a fabulous painter who did a huge series of paintings based on the difficulties of her own life and on Dante's journey. So the Inferno, the Purgatorio, the Paradiso. And I wrote about her in a little book called Between Brush Strokes. So this is just a very small excerpt from that little book, chapbook. Ray, how does a painter grow? She remembers stone walls, archways, bell tower, her father a duke and a prince back in Sermoneta in Teano. But that doesn't matter, he says, because here we are just people among people. True, we have an unbroken line of nobility behind us, but it is up to us to sustain what truly matters in this life. La Linea, Papaleone, lifeline. Running through the valley bottom, her mother Ophelia traces the lightest of touch on her hand. No, no, the soul's journey, he tells her, down its wonder river, through canyons of impasse, through dead citadels, dead seasons of fate. Wonder as integral to him as the pulsing of his blood. Iron line, lead pencil, leads, and she is following. Leaning up against him, feeling the warmth of his arm as he reads out a passage from the book his finger marks for her. Smiling up at the lean nose she loves, the steady eyes that hold her in hope as he holds a line from Dante and memory. Her papa, for whom remote lands and seeming barrenness promised mystery and adventure, for whom the horses of the imagination roam and run, rush like rain.
I welcome Jessica and Nicholas.
Wrangell Island, the edge of a century. What I think about is the men who die in small women's arms, leaving them alone in soiled canvas tents with also soiled aprons and the wind straying in the flaps, who refuse the dilemma of raw meat from the women's hands without mittens, who die on a Tuesday, leaving the women alone for the rest of the week, where a week looks like a type of ice she has known and does not like. The women who stay alive live with their watches, and their arms are thin and strong. When they pull the fat fox from the trap made from coffee cans, They straighten into a wind that smells a bit like grass. When I think about these rocky places, with gray and yellow lichen and sleet, small limpets at the shore, eel grass further up, but mostly the constant of the sea, a gray indifference like an old mother, impatient of questions, far gone, occidental in her chair with bony hands, I feel more body, more person on the edge of a continent, more century and more grasping alike.
I welcome Jane Monroe.
Thank you, Mona. I'm short. I need to pull this down. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
First of all, I do want to thank you, Mona, for your hospitality for two writers and two poets in particular. From the time when you opened the literary storefront and many of us read, you gave us a home. And now you've given us a home in a wonderful anthology. My daughters remember that when they were young, and women did something that was great, I used to say, "Yay, team!" So I'd like to say, "Yay, team!" It's a delight to be... Yay, team! It really is a delight to be among all these wonderful poems and voices and poets. So thank you, Mona. I'm going to read one short poem that is from a sequence of four poems in here about a painting by Mary Pratt. Maybe you are mostly familiar with Mary Pratt's paintings, but I have loved them for a long time, and I didn't set out to write poems about paintings. It just happened that I was someplace and came across one of Pratt's images of her beautiful pictures, and I was reminded how much I love the fact that she paints things that are so beautiful that are just part of everyday life. And this painting that the four poems are about is called Eggs in Egg Crate. But she didn't actually paint the eggs. She painted the empty eggshells nested in a cardboard carton and that's all the painting is. So, and she did it in 1975. In the year of the videotaped naked Kate Craig as Lady Brute, slipping on and off a leopard-spotted vest, of Gaffy Fox galloping herd one, carousel troop of plywood ponies bounding across gallery floors, of two stone masks reunited, one with eyes closed, one with eyes open, a cupped pear carved for an ancient Shimsham Naxnox dancer. In the year after Evelyn Roth knit Vancouver's art gallery an awning of videotape, and Mr. Peanut ran for mayor. In the International Women's Year, in the time of Judy Chicago's dinner party, Pratt chose to paint a housewife's trash to pass as an ordinary woman. Yet her plain art spins heart sprockets like a love letter from your kitchen. On the counter, an original, conceptual happening. I welcome Catherine Owen.
The Spa for Grief. This, all that's left when the water is burned off, two brimming handfuls of bone here and there a bit of tooth, a link of his silver chain not ground down by the cremulator. I am sorry to have to tell you this. She is rubbing oil into my feet, and her voice too is unguent, slowly soothing me into silence, as if these facts don't matter now, not here, and she is right, I think. Though it is hard not to tell her of the chill cringe of dead flesh, and how I lifted his shirt fast to see where they'd stitched, stroking the coarse, indifferent sutures of autopsy like braille. And how around his eyes pooled the blue and gray abrasions of fluid, bloomings from his 4 long days of death. Now I have to pay to be touched. A woman's hands holding the feet he loved, and not loving them, not offering his gifts, but still somehow massaging each digit into a kind of feeling, then painting the nails red as if with joy. Thank you.
I welcome Shauna Paul. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. Women, thank you for your work, for this book, Mona. I can't wait to use it in my classes. My students are already lobbying for it to be on our list. This is a poem that I wrote after attending a demonstration on the opening day of the Missing Women's Inquiry. Possibly enough said about that. Something in the long bone of the thigh asks music. Homespun, the notes rustle and sure, trouble her, stir. Low at the join of the hip, the waiting so long. So long her head bent toward the belly of things underneath as water. So long and inside the city today is shorn, unmasked. The steel and glass inquiry shudders. Drum circle of terrible knowledge spirals up the intersection. Hearts steam to vapor. In air the gut singing, the torn from us presences come to shine. As daylight's last flare, its hot detox. Then the charged fuse of evening, and she in her calm feet, her blue dark bones, listens, and the chords spill, low at the join of the hip, this movement in solace. Thank you. I welcome Miranda Pearson.
Hi, everyone. Lovely to be here and to be part of this wonderful book. I'm really enjoying looking at the photographs of us all. They're beautiful. They've come out so well. The one of me is taken just outside Virginia Woolf's house in Sussex. I just thought I'd tell you that. Here I am, lover. Why am I here? It's blindingly obvious I prefer the embroidery of wild flowers to these dark mountains that remind me only of Scotland. I should have seized the chance and stayed in the woods, watched the silver birch unpeel, its flay a crazy book, its tough, dry weep. Oh, the decoy of romance, and you waiting by the shore, wanting always your sex like a bright tongue, the horrible appetite of one who is too hungry, your shirt damp from another night outdoors. So here I am, lover, with the stars and the starfish that cling on and on. The arbutus is here too, and the crunching seashells. You see the housework of tide everywhere, the way it sweeps things up, forgets. Glance quizzically at the sun, breathe that deep smell of salt, the sudden initiation of air. I am meager, like winter sunlight. But feel that, the thump and sway of birth, ooh, shudder, as the ferry, you know, connects. Only see the dock's ragged black stockings, hear the huff and shrug of sea, masculine, dogged, its bellows hard-working, obsessive. I come back to you and lay at your feet an empty bowl, poetry, bric-a-brac. These small stitches, this picking and unpicking, try, will you, to repair longing. My heart weighs at least 4 pounds.
I welcome Kathy Stonehouse.
Hello, and yes, another note of thanks to Mona for the incredible job that she's done with this gorgeous book. I moved here from England 20 plus years ago, and because I felt there wasn't enough space in many ways there for me to be what I wanted to be, which was a poet amongst other things. And I look at the list of poets in this book and the faces in this room, and I see my first two teachers of poetry at UBC, which is Daphne Marlett and Jane Monroe. I see women who have edited, mentored, supported, accompanied, collaborated with me across those years since I arrived here, and Joanne also. We were published together many years ago. It's just very touching to be here and to feel that, yeah, I've come home. I feel like I'm home. It's very nice, so thank you. I'm going to read this is a fairly un-nuanced and unsubtle poem, which I wrote in a moment of sort of feminist rage. So I thought I'd read it. Somewhat sarcastic. The woman is plain. The woman is not very attractive. She has grey hair, dark skin, no breasts, and an excess of untreated blemishes. She is over 45, under 2, clinically insane, severely disabled. She could use a Brazilian. The woman is a great singer, but asymmetric. She has no hands, no money, and too many theories. She could use a haircut. She could use internet access. Her pants are made of mud and her shoes of rubber. She delights in mismatched accessories, crutches, hearing aids, wears Walmart to work and Versace to die in. She is cutting edge. She has too many teeth, a dead son, and a toxic liver, an idea of beauty that involves the destruction of property, urgent peace talks, and a reliable source of clean water. The woman is dying. The woman is a head of state. The only remaining speaker of an indigenous language, she has no nationality and fallen arches. She is undernourished, obese, grief-stricken, a foxy redhead, a dumb blonde, an undistinguished brunette. In her previous appearance on screen, she was being raped. Her extensive scarring renders her disturbing to look at. Nevertheless, we applaud her courage, her chutzpah, and hope she makes it through to the finals alive. Yeah.